I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
They have got the man out wide. It's McGilvray for the corner, and McGilvray is in.
Welcome back to Talking with Giants, the Huddersfield Giants fan podcast. It's episode 10 of the 2024 season, and we're here to celebrate the win over Leeds. Joining me as ever, we've got Jake Rowlands and Nathaniel Wood. How are we doing, boys?
Brilliant, thank you. How's everyone else?
Thank you, yourself.
Good, good. We're still buzzing from Friday night?
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It's good to have the bragging rights in my household.
Yeah, I was going to say this is the one you wanted to win, wasn't it? So, extra.
Yeah, she's been very quiet this weekend. not sure why. Doubt she'll have been quiet if Leeds beat us, but yeah. First time we beat Leeds at Headingley since we got together, so happy days for me.
Have you kept replaying it on TV?
No, but I keep sending a score. And she called a hero while I'm doing this. She's just telling me to F off. So she's still not happy, obviously.
Fair enough, I suppose. it was a bit of an up and down game, wasn't it, really? I thought we lost it at 24-12. I was sort of mentally preparing for defeat. And then out of nowhere, really, we just turned it on and it was incredible. Nat, talk us through it. How you saw it?
I was worried at half time when we were going to go in at half time at 12-0. I didn't think we attacked great. I thought first 10 minutes we started really well. We were on top. We then kicked to the corner, and I think it was Lachlan Miller got out of the corner. Wallace and McGarmer missed him. And from then they went bang, bang, bang with plate ball. Mama obviously scored. Then I thought Leeds dominated the first half for the rest of it, and I thought I actually turned it might have been to Jake and a few lads around. I said, if we're going at 12-0 here, I think I'll be quite happy the way the first half has gone. And then obviously we got a penalty 12-2, and I thought, said at half time, we're only two scores behind, like we can do, we're still in this game, we've got to score next. And when we got it back to 12-12, I was like, here we go, we've got the momentum, this is where we'll, you know, hopefully kick on now and get this game wrapped up. And then we dropped the ball on the third tackle coming out of the yardage. They scored. We then conceded again. And like you at 24-12, I just thought, we've no momentum here. We've killed all momentum. What we've done, it's going to take some effort here. And then, yeah, I don't know what the last 15 minutes, I'm not, it's all a blur. Like, I can't believe what happened. You know, you think we won by six, but, you know, it'd have been by 12, 14 points if Jake kicked his kicks. And that's no disrespect on Jake and everyone giving a bit of stick for missing the kicks, but he missed four kicks, all from the touchline. No easy ones in there that he's missed. He thinks he should easily be kicking. You know, Reece Myers, one of the best in the league, and give him five or six, seven, eight on a game day, he's not going to kick him off on touchline. No one is. No. So I thought Jake got a bit of stick from his kicking, but I think it's just needs to lay off. Like I say, they are from the touchline, they're not easy. But the fact that we just went on, and the one thing I said after the game was, I don't know if it was Ian Watson, if it was Jake Connor, Clune, Tua, Swifty, I don't know who came up with it, but we saw that their right winger and right centre went off and we exploited it straight away and we got some joy down there straight away. And you could see the players were just setting up to say, we're going down there again. And poor James McDonald and Momorowski, I felt a bit sorry for him because they're playing out of position, you know. McDonald's not centre, Goodman's a prop playing second row. And Eastside Masters and Swift just tore them apart down that left edge all night. And I thought in the end we deserved to win. So yeah. I think the scoreline was probably right. And thankfully we got what we deserved in the end.
Yeah, I must admit, when I saw Bussy Tua and Newman going off, I thought we'd, you know, it gave me a bit of extra belief that we could get some out of the game. Jake, did you feel that was a big turning point?
Potentially, yeah, but in the past, it's never really mattered with Giants, has it? Who goes off injured and comes on in replace them? We never in the past, I've never seen us exploit something like that before, like we did on Friday night, and it was good to see, to be honest with you, because I pointed it out tonight at game. James McDonald were absolutely blowing out of his ass after 5 minutes at the second half. He come behind sticks, he had his hands above his head, and he just looked absolutely knackered. And we seemed to exploit him down that Leeds' right edge really easily. The last 30 minutes, I think it was 10 minutes into the second half, wasn't it, when Newman went off? But yeah, phenomenal game, really. Twists and turns all the way through. It's what you really want to see in a rugby league game. You don't really want to see blowouts, do you? You want to see good competitive games where one team ends up winning, the best team wins, really. I'd have loved to have known what the game would have ended like if Ollie Wilson hadn't knocked the ball on when he did, which turned the momentum in that second half, because we were really on top there. I think it was his knock-on that got Leeds back on front foot, where they ended up scoring the two tries. It was hard to pick. When you stood behind sticks, it's hard to pick who really has performed well in forwards, really. But I can safely say that probably Ledski and Cam Smith were probably the best two forwards on the pitch between both sides. I thought Ledski's first stint was phenomenal. I've sort of said a few weeks ago that I didn't think he were that good, but that on Friday, first stint on Friday night were unbelievable. Cam Smith were just a handful constantly. He's Leeds' best player by a mile. And I think if you don't get an England call up sooner or later, it'd be a bit of a travesty, really.
Charles was playing that first half, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he did. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. He were absolutely phenomenal. And you could see, even behind sticks, he was the main threat for Leeds. But Masters and Swift on our left edge are the difference for us. Masters is like a new player. I've called him out before last year. Said he were a waste of space, and it pretty much was last year, to be fair to him. He'll probably admit that himself. This year, he's just a totally different player. I've never seen a player improve so much in a year. It's mad. He just looks so much fitter. He looks stronger. He looks more muscular. He looks happier. He looks... And Adam Swift, he's another one that I think probably should be looking at an England call-up if he keeps this level of form up. He's the best. We've got the best centre and the best winger in the league at the moment, in them two.
Well, definitely one of the best centre-wing combinations, isn't it? You know, it's got to be probably up there.
Well, which of the winger at the moment's in better form than Adam Swift in this competition? Bevan French plays in halves now. Jai Fields at back. Who's in terms of wingers? Like, Makinson's not been great this year. Who's playing better than Adam Swift?
Like I said, Ash Arnold have been up there for his injury.
Potentially, yeah.
Really good for Leeds.
Who's joint top try scorer with Swift? Or is he out right now?
Swift is joint top with 9. When I was trying to hit the stats off earlier. Let me have a quick look, so I'll have to go back. Liam Marshall's top with 9.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah,
Marshall. Adam Swift.
Yeah. I mean, what's the thing about Adam Swift is he's... I won't say he's as strong as Jerry, but I think in some instances he actually is. Like he took the ball near the try line, and I thought he was going to get pushed into touch. And the strength he shows just to force his way back in, and then create the space then for Levette to go over. I just thought I knew he was good before he came here, but he's just getting better and better every week. His carries. Where he just goes straight for the gap, he don't mess around, and he just gets a quick play of the ball all the time. He's an unbelievable player, probably really underrated, to be fair, in previous years.
I think one of the big positive takeaways from Friday night for me was, I think we'd admit we weren't playing at our best on Friday, but to come back at Headingley twice from being two tries down, that says a lot about the mentality of the team. And yeah. How everyone seems to be like happy around the group and working for each other, and I think that's how we got the win, really.
Yeah, we look fit, to be fair. I don't know if it's just coincidence or we just look fitter than we were last year. Last year we used to fall apart in the last 20 minutes of games, you know, where we'd just look knackered. Whereas now on Friday night, we just look to be getting stronger and stronger. And I don't know if that's because Leeds are unfit, because they've been having a lot of issues in second half of games over the last few weeks, or whether it's just that we're much fitter than we were. But we look like we could have carried on playing for another 20, 30 minutes on Friday night at the same intensity. So, yeah, credit to Greg Brown, credit to all players. seem to be playing with a smile on the face, which is a big plus.
Yeah.
I said it on the BBC, you know, it was good to look up in stands and see six or seven players that aren't playing jumping up and down stairs like they've just won grand final when second to last try and last try has gone over. Mm. I've not seen that from a Giants side for ages. Usually players that aren't playing are just sat down and you're lucky if you get any emotion. And I even saw some emotion out of Ian Watson, which is a first, which is a good sign.
Yeah.
What would be for me were when Leroy tackled Roberts and we pushed him back into the in goal. I think that was before we got.
Yeah.
I think he went short from the dropout, didn't he? He didn't get
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
But Leroy obviously forced him back, and you could see him like sort of flex and scream to the crowd, and they all came running and patted him on. You could see them celebrating, and I just thought this team spirit these lads have got together this year. It reminds me of 2022, and I'm not going to get too excited that we're going to have a year like 2022, but that's what reminds me of, like, they celebrate the little wins on a match day, which goes a long way. And it sounds stupid, and I know a lot of people say it shouldn't take that, but once Leroy did that to the crowd, that everyone in the Western Territory Giants lifted,
yeah,
and then that lifts your players. And sometimes all it takes is one of the players to show a bit of passion to the crowd, and then at a home game, just show a bit of passion to the crowd. Block 7 would lift, the rest of the stadium would lift and get me out. It just shows that it's starting to come back as well between the player and the fans, that connection is getting there.
Yeah, we celebrated like a try, didn't they? And it turned out to be actually on the back of it with the short dropout, probably was the match winning moment, wasn't it? Because we had the extra try with Clune, but I felt in the ground, might be me being naive, but I felt pretty comfortable, to be fair. I didn't think they were going to score.
I mean, you never know with Leeds, do you? Because they're so elusive and they can throw the ball about. They had us all over the place at one point in the first half, you know, with how they play, which is, you know, they don't really have a style. They don't have structures, do they? They just sort of just play off the cuff. And a few times they caught us out in the first half. So I never feel confident, you know, if you level going into the last 2 minutes, that something will happen. But yeah, credit to us, you know, that, I mean, I've looked at it 20 times now, that Clune try, and I can't change my mind every time whether Nakama knocked it on. But I will give Leeds fans the credit. They should be going up to the video ref for that. And if it were the other way around, we'd be sat here going, how can you not be going to the video ref for that? But at the same time, Yates' yellow card, he's not faced any further action from disciplinary. What a joke that was. That was pathetic, to put it blunt. You know, and then Leeds player, obviously, didn't think he had a case to answer because he hadn't been charged either. But I thought that looked worse than Yates's. So you get decisions in games, you don't. You know, I didn't think the referee had a bad game Friday night. I thought it was pretty good, to be fair.
Yeah. We'll come on to Nat's stats in a minute, but one stat I'd want to quickly touch upon. Leeds scored 4 tries, we scored 6. And I know that a lot of those were scored out wide, but is goal kicking an issue? Have we got anyone?
Well, it clearly is, isn't it? Like Nat said before, they're all on touchline. I said it in first half, we didn't look like we could score anywhere else other than down edges, which we're scoring. I mean, you take scoring on edges over not scoring, wouldn't you? But it is a worry when you're missing that many kicks. But the best goal kickers seem to be fringe sort of Super League players like your Flanagans and your Kieran Rushers. They're from what I've been told, are the best 2 kickers in club in terms of goal kicking. But when they're going to break into the first team, it won't be any time soon, will it? Well, Kieran Rush probably before.
I'd say Rush is better than Connor too, and obviously.
Yeah.
He's on the outer at the minute, so two are being picked in the arse, and you can't just pick someone because they can kick goals. They're on the way to his performance. It's difficult, isn't it? Like, I'm a Russell fan and love to see Russ in the team, but it's hard to drop 2 at the minute. You can't just pick Russ because he can kick goals, can you?
No, I mean, I know 10 years ago, teams did used to pick a player just because they could kick goals. You're probably looking in a lot of Australia. Were it El Masri? Were it in Australia that used to get picked just for his goal kicking? Yeah. You know, you can't do that anymore. You can't have a weak link in your side just because he can kick a few goals. Because if you're not scoring tries, you're not kicking goals, are you? So,
anyone else in the current team that could have a go?
I think Levette's had a go at kicking before.
Tui, I'm surprised Tui
had a go. Tui, yeah. I think we've got too many okay kickers, and I think they all have a go in training, don't they? A bit sounds of it, but yeah, I'm not sure.
I
had
love
this
Jake
issue for a
Connor.
few years.
I love Jake Connor, and a lot of them tries we wouldn't have scored.
No.
No matter if he kicks them or not, we wouldn't have scored them without
Yeah.
him. So I'm not having a go at him. I'm just saying.
He was getting really frustrated with himself as
Yeah.
well. I don't know if you noticed after one of them, he smacked the corner away with his hand because
Yeah.
he were fuming. But
Yeah,
they're
in
difficult
close
kicks in
games, it
corner.
can cost you. The way that he missed a few of them was a bit worrying. You know, some of them he didn't strike them properly at all. But if we won. Who cares? That's a win
Yeah,
for another
no,
day, isn't it?
exactly that.
Yeah, that's a win for the new Costas.
Yeah.
Hopefully, no time soon.
Yeah. So, Nat, what are the standout team and player stats from the game?
So, the team stats, surprisingly, as you can probably imagine, are all very similar. The one that stood out probably the most is ball run meters. They had 1,547, we had 1,839, but I feel like we made a few more breaks than them on the night. So, it's probably where them tally up. Everything else is pretty same. You know, the one tackle bust difference, the kick return meters, they had an extra 30-40. So I think it shows that that's probably the first half, and we were kicking long a lot of the time because they were pinning us in. You know, like I said, they're the role on the first half, and they were probably just doing short kicks rather than clearing the lines in the first half. So, but everywhere attack wise was very similar. Now, the errors and negatives of the thing was they made 9 errors till we made 6. Obviously, we missed 5 goals, they missed none. But the missed tackles, they missed 39 and we missed 40. Now, I was told over the weekend, and I don't know if this is true, we missed 40 tackles in the first half.
First half, I got told that as well, yeah. Yeah.
So if that's true, and according to the stats on the Super League website, we didn't miss a tackle in the second half. Which, for me, if that is true, shows a phenomenal effort to change that around in that 15-minute break of you being so slack and missing 40 times in the first half to missing none in the second half, and you're getting your defence sorted. I think whatever was said or whatever was done tactically to change it, to make sure that, I think that's a great effort from Watson and the whole team to sort that out. If that is true, of what we've heard, so fair play to the backroom staff and to the players there for fixing that up. We have got some player stats as we normal. So the tackles, Leroy topped it with 39, Luke Yates 38, Seb 25, Greenwood 24, and Levette 22. So tackles were shared between the forwards. Unfortunately, there's some alarming. Obviously, we fought missed tackles. There's some alarming stats in the missed tackles section. Okay. Harvey Levette missed 7, Nagama and Clue missed 6 each, and Tui and Leroy missed 4 each, according to the Super League website, which was your bit when you're right centre and you're right half back and missing 12 tackles between them is probably a weakness where you'll need to tighten up, especially this week when you're playing St Helens and you've got Purcell and probably Sirin and something like running at you. So hopefully that's fixed up for this week. Meter makers in attack, you've got Issa Masters topped it with 215, Adam Swift with 198, Adam Clune with 145. Nagam 119 and Elliot Wallace 103. They were the top 5. We also had Jake Connor, who tops the 100 mark with 102. Not bad for a guy who doesn't run the ball from fullback, according to some of our fans. So fair play to Jake there. And the average game was 11. The top one was 11. That was Luke Yates, Adam Swift, and Adam Clune. I mean, I think that's a great effort from Yates here more than the other two, Swift and Clune. Obviously, Clune had a 60-meter breakaway in the last minute to score, and Swift obviously had that run before. Was shipped out for Wallace to score. So they had massive breaks. I don't remember Yates having a break. So for Yates' average game to be 11 throughout the game, I think it's a great effort from the man that I'm still pleading and shouting at the club to get signed up because we can't afford to lose him.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of those meetings will be after contact as well, won't they, from Yates?
Yeah, most likely. So again, it just shows how good he is with ball in hand. And, you know, I can guarantee he made second most tackles and he wanted the missed tackles. So again, I think he's really starting to come into this stuff late. Not many fans will see because he's nothing flashy, but he's getting better and better again. And thankfully, he's not suspended because we'll need him this week.
Yeah, definitely. Any closing thoughts on the game before we move on?
Yeah, can we play Leeds every week?
No, just really, really good game to go to. A few more fans there on Friday than last few times we've been to Headingley, so think those that went will have enjoyed their experience. I know there are a few that haven't been to an away game for quite a while, so hopefully we can get a similar number to St. Helens on Thursday night.
Just on that, of what Jake just said as well, is I agree. Fair play to the club, Ian Watson, and the players. I think we've changed the way we attack since that Hulkiah defeat, and it's making it a lot more enjoyable to watch. And I think that's rewarding by the fans going to, after a good win in Catalan and it being enjoyable, more people are willing to spend the money and go watch it. We look better in attack. We're getting more fans. Everything's a plus. Just I hope we just keep attacking that way no matter who we're playing. And we're asking questions middle, right, left. So fair play to Watson for changing the process, as people would like to say. I'm sure he'll say he's not changing much, but we can tell we're attacking completely different since the Hulkiah defeat.
Yeah. Probably say he's tweaked it. But, notably different. Yeah. Jake, how have our loan players been getting on this week?
Yeah, not heard much in terms of individual performances, but I know Aidan and Fenton both started for Bradford against York. Bradford came up short, I think 25-14 to York. But York are a decent team this year. Bradford look like they're going to be there or thereabouts, a sort of playoff spot at end of year. So, they're in close games either way at the moment. So it's could be good experience for those, being in them close, tough games. And I think Jack Bibby were the only other loanee who were at Dewsbury, and they came up short this week as well. Jack Billington, I think he warmed up with the first team on Friday night and then played in the reserve Saturday. Kieran Rush and Connor, as we'll hear later from Connor, are both injured at the moment, so didn't feature elsewhere.
I think Aidan scored at the last minute too.
Did he?
Yeah, I'm sure he scored.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. You're right. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
So, well done to him. If anyone listened from last week, obviously the joke about Aidan with Ronan, they did text each other back before the game, so they did talk.
Yeah, all good. All good. Elsewhere last weekend, aside from the first team, the reserves won against Wakefield. And the Giants women lost their Super League opener against Leeds. And coming up this weekend, the Academy are playing St. Helens. And the women are also playing St. Helens. Jake, I think you said that Academy game is...
The Academy game are playing before the first team game on Thursday night. So if anyone can get there early and support them. They've had a mixed start to the year as well. They've got a couple of good wins, I think. And then had a bad loss to Hull last time out. But Hull Academy looked good this year, so... it'll be interesting to see. We've got a couple of young players in academy that look really good, so I'm hopefully if we can get there and watch at least the second half of it, I will do.
Yep, definitely.
It's tough ask that thing too, because they always have a good set on one of the top teams, who always have a good academy side. So if you're not obviously we're interested in the Giants, but there's also some good talent on show from the set on side. So yeah, go and give all the kids the support really.
Yeah, be a good test. Speaking of Giants youngsters, we had a chat earlier with Connor Carr, one of the Giants' young prospects. He's told he's got an injury at the moment, but he's spent a bit of time alone in Bradford this season. And here's what he had to say. So we're delighted to be joined by one of the Giants' hottest prospects, Connor Carr. How are you doing, Connor?
Yeah, not much. How are you?
Yeah, all good, thanks. So how's the 2024 season been going for you so far?
Well, been going well, to be fair, to start with. Got a few games for reserves and then at Bradford three games now, but yeah. Started off all right.
How's that experience been going for you at Bradford?
Good set of lads. I feel like it's what I needed, to be fair. Getting some games in a first team environment. But yeah, everyone's sound, the staff, everyone. Good place to be.
He was obviously at Oldham last year, Connor. He did quite well. I actually heard that might have been before the season that Batley actually wanted to hijack that deal and get you in Championship last year. Was that true? But Oldham, you'd already signed for Oldham and Oldham weren't willing to let you go there, or is that just a rumour?
I didn't hear that.
No.
That isn't news to me, but...
Right, fair enough. But anyway, you've made your way to Championship now, sort of played a few games for Bradford. What's the difference in standard like between the Championship and League One?
I think in League One, there's sort of a few standout players, I think, is more the thing. Yeah, and then everyone else, it's the level sort of up and down. But I think championship's more like standard. Everyone's playing at a higher level, so it's you're not going to get any easy rides.
No, it's definitely improved. Well, I think it's improving year on year, the championship, to be honest with you. There seems to be more Super League players taking the step down there, maybe not right at the end of the career, but just before. Like, you used to be when you were like 35, players would sort of go to championship for another couple of years. But now there seems to be a lot of 29, 30, 31-year-olds stepping down to championship. And the standards definitely improved. Even the clubs towards the bottom, like your Batleys and stuff, have all improved in recent years. And you don't see many washout games anymore, really. I saw that with Bradford and York at the weekend. Quite a decent scrap. I know York got the better of it. So what's the sort of plans for you then? Have you spoke to Ian about going out on loan for the full season? Is it just a case of week by week at Bradford? I know that's ended now, but how long are you out for? Is the talk, are you going back there? Can you go to Dewsbury with some of the others? Or what's the plan?
I think the plan's more take it week by week. I mean, I think I'm out for a good while now. So who knows what the situation will be at Bradford when I'm back. But I think we see who needs me when. I'm just after playing games, really.
And sort of how long are you? How long is your injury? What sort of time scales is it till you're back?
I'm not entirely sure. It's a good while. It could be up to 10 weeks.
10 weeks, right. So have you got any ambition of making your Super League debut this year? Is that something you've spoke about with Ian towards sort of when you fit?
Yeah, well, that's all going to aim for the year. But the way everyone's going, our wings are going this season, they're playing really well. So I guess it's just a case of, if the opportunity arises, then I'll be there to take it. But we'll see what happens. But that's definitely my aim.
Yeah, and I know you've sort of done it a different way to most other young ones. Were you in the scholarship with Giants before you went into the academy?
Yeah.
And then you sort of got the reserve contract, didn't you? But then instantly went out on loan to Oldham for the season. Did you feel at any point like your rugby league career might have been over as a professional? Had you given up on the idea of being a professional? And were you, obviously you got the job, but the apprenticeship and sort of started that and then playing part-time. Had you given up at that point in terms of being a...
The back end of the academy, but you never know these things. So I thought I'd set myself up with something else just in case. And when they came offering reserve, I thought, well, there's a bit more of a chance there. There will be a chance, otherwise they're not going to come to me and try to keep me on. But it was sort of more of a, I'll do my apprenticeship and get that sorted. And then if the opportunity arises as first team rugby, then I'll take it. And luckily, that's just what happened.
Yeah, no, good. So what, you signed for 2 years, was it? So initially, so obviously the plan is to get your obviously first team chance this year and then kick on from there. And hopefully then get a new deal and sort of set yourself up as a Super League player going forward.
Yeah.
And so what position do you see yourself? Because I know you played in centres for Oldham, didn't you, quite a bit with a few games I actually saw you. You sort of, Ian's touted you as a winger for now, but is centre sort of your position that you prefer? Or?
Well, I can do either, really. I enjoy both, if I'm honest, but I don't know. I might be a bit better suited to wing because, my hands aren't the best of... I mean, they're there, but there's others that are a lot better than me at that. So, and I've got a bit of pace, so it might be a bit best suited. But I'll play wherever anyone wants to put me.
And what's it? Sort of, which players are in the squad currently? Who you played in the academy with? I know you played with Aidan, didn't you? But is there any others that were about at that time?
Yeah, I was in Kieran Rush, Fenton. I think Jack Billington was in the year below me, but I think he joined a bit after
right. I joined. Yes, quite a few of you then from that year group, isn't there? Because the year that's come through, which is quite good. What's it like playing with Fenton again at Bradford? Did you get a game with Fenton the other week? Or has he gone back after?
Yeah, I played with him. Yeah, it's good. He's a sound lad and he's a good player, so it's always good to play with tough lads like him.
Yeah. And So you say you're out for a good few weeks now. So what do you sort of have you doing while you're out? Do you still keep up to date with like your body work, or are you in every day doing rehab, or surgery, or
you're in with a squat. Well, it depends what the injury's like, but you'll be in with a squad in the mornings doing the meeting and stuff like that. So you're watching preview and review of the games. But then you'll sort of go off to the gym and do your own rehab and your own gym and your own con and stuff like that.
Yeah. And I think last one for me before I end you over tonight is, so what's it like being a young lad where you used to obviously working in an apprenticeship, doing a bit of studying as well, to having then so much free time, like training in the morning and then having like a full day off? It must feel a bit weird at times. Or...
Yeah, it's very weird. It's still getting used to be honest. But to be fair, well, definitely in pre-season, by the time them off days, you get them off days, you need them because you need a bit of recovery. So yeah, it's definitely different and I'm enjoying it, but yeah, definitely need it at some point.
Who in the Giants first team do you sort of look up to?
Oh, well, this is the obvious ones. Leroy, he's been there forever. He played in every position, but in the back, he just knows everything there is to know. Like, if you ever got a question, his work rate is you can't question it, and he's just proper. He's professional all about the game. He's in doing extras when he needs to and rehab and stuff like that. So yeah, I feel the obvious pro.
You back now, Nat?
Yeah, I think so. Sorry about that. So just another like what were your highlight at Oldham? You scored a full length away, one boot off, didn't you, at one point, and which obviously made the rounds on social media. Yeah. Talking about that, what were you thinking when your boot came off? And
I had some highlights. I had some all right highlights at Oldham, but yeah, the one boot try, just. When you just can't do what else, really, can you? You've got to run, and I wasn't expecting to go full length, but yeah, it just sort of happened, and you actually got to keep running. You can't stop and pick it up.
So it made it round on social media, didn't it? Did you get any stick from the Oldham lads, the Giants lads, all your mates? Did you get a bit of stick about it? Or
yeah, there were the odd message because it was. A lot of people I know share it, my family and that, so that everyone was seeing it, and you get the message, oh, have you scored a try or whatever? So yeah, there was some stick, but yeah, all fun games.
And then just going to earlier this season, obviously at Castleford in the friendly, I think it was your first touch of the ball, and obviously in the first team to score. How much have you thanked George Flanagan since
yeah, that's definitely a lot. He's a I didn't actually have to do anything for that try, so all George set that up. So yeah, definitely thanked him a good few times.
Is that the first time that you've played with him?
Yeah, it was.
How good was it?
Yeah, he's good. He's quick on his feet. He's a skillful, tricky player. So yeah, good player.
No worries. Thank you.
Yeah, and did you get knocked out in pre-season, somebody was saying? Did you take a bad one? Was that before you went away to Spain?
Yeah, I had a I didn't get knocked out, but I got a good whack to head, got concussion, right. So I was out for a few weeks there as well, so I was a bit behind there, but yeah, that's why I missed the first few not reserves, friendlies.
Right. And did you still get to go to Spain with them, even though you were?
Yeah. Because. I didn't know when I'd be back because I was having symptoms for a while, so I might have been back by then, but well, unfortunately I wasn't. I was just doing my own running, but yeah, I went with that.
What were that like over in Spain? Obviously, you would have done up like that before, will you?
No. Yeah, it were good. Good. Just it was sort of good just to spend some time with the lads because obviously my first year with them, I'm not the most expressive, outgoing guy, so it was just good to spend time with them and get to know them all a bit better.
And obviously, like players have said in past that have come to HGSA and stuff, some of all the players love to give all young lads stick when they come through. Is it still like that, or are they a bit more opening, you know, with a bit more nicer these days?
I think it's a bit of both. You get a bit of stick, as anyone do, but they're all sound about it. They're all nice blokes. It's not too bad, but yeah, you get some stick. But everyone does, to be fair, not just the younger lads.
When you signed your new contract, they said about how Andy Kelly said, "Don't let this kid go; he's too good to let go." So that must give you good confidence, knowing that someone like him has got faith in you.
Yeah, Andy's been brilliant since I joined at scholarship. He's never letting you go without communication, so you don't know what's going on. And yet, even when I was signed reserves and I was away for 2 years, he's always talking to me, believing in me and stuff like that. So definitely a lot of thanks to Andy for this.
Yeah, perfect, nice one. Is that it? Any more questions from you guys?
No, that's it from me this week. Yeah, thank you.
No, that's it. Thank you very much for joining, Connor.
Yeah. Thanks, yeah,
thanks Connor, mate. Thank you.
I'll let you get back and enjoy the rest of your evening in peace.
Nice one. Thank you very much. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Bye-bye. So, yeah, that was our chat with Connor. Wishing him a speedy recovery with his injury. Okay, so looking ahead to this weekend, we've got St. Helens away on a Thursday night. I'm guessing you two are both going.
I am, yeah.
So, obviously, it's always a very difficult game, St. Helens away. Start with you, Jake. You've got a funny feeling we can get something, haven't you?
Yeah, if we hadn't, I won't be saying that if we hadn't have picked up the points at Headingley Friday, but I've seen things over the last couple of weeks I didn't think that I'd see from Huddersfield Giants this year, I don't think St. Helens are... Since I think the best game St. Helens have played this year were when they played us, to be honest with you. I've watched them a few times on Sky since, and I don't think they've been anywhere near that level. Certainly were poor against Warrington. I think they've had the perfect bounce back game by playing Hull at home. Couldn't ask for a better game after a defeat to bounce back from. So I think they'll be looking at us as a bit of a test as well to see where they're at after that Warrington defeat. So I know Alex Worms is out. He always causes us problems. So I think, you know, it's going there expecting us not to get hammered, which we have done in the past. And expecting us to put a really good showing, and I think we can. Yeah, I think we can sneak a win. I've said it's, you know, it's a win against a decent St. Helens all Wigan side is what I want to see next from Watto. So I think what better way to start it this week?
Yeah, we saw Warrington. They set out the blueprint of how to beat Saints away. Nat, do you share Jake's optimism that we can turn him over?
Yeah, definitely. I really fancy us to go there, as long as we stick to how we're attacking now and we don't change it to how we attacked when we played him. I think he's got to hold his nerve and carry on moving the ball about. One direct weakness I see, which gains us, is if we can go left to Isan and Swift, then Isan up against Conrad Hurrell is one matchup that I really think Isan's feet and hands and pick can do Conrad Hurrell. All it takes is him to look like he's going to be Conrad Hull, and Tommy Makers have to bite in to help his teammate out. And if he can get the hands away to Swift, then we know Swift has got the pace to get down. And I think that's probably a good way through for us. So
that battle against Swift and Makers is going to be a really good battle, that, I think.
100%. That's battle of that problem.
Yeah.
Like you said, Jake, no Wormsley. He always tears apart and kills us. So he's missing good news for us. I've been told by one of his Saints mates, don't hold me to this, that Lewis Dodd might be missing too.
Well,
so he reckons that M-Bai will play seven with Jack Wells going back to fullback. Again,
Clark's out though, isn't he? Clark's out at the moment, isn't he?
You reckon he'll be back this week, he says.
Right.
So Clark will be back, so M-Bai will go to seven, but he's not a seven. So
no.
A lot of pressure goes on to Lomax's shoulders, who I don't think he's playing in great form this year.
No, I think he's out of form this year.
I think he's there for taking if he wants.
Yeah, it's interesting because I had a quick look on Saints. I like to have a look on the other fans' forums before we jump on here. And Lewis Dodd's taking a lot of stick on St. Helens forum. Fans have sort of, there's a lot of fans that are quite glad he's out at team, which is quite interesting to say they were touting him as the next best NRL signing, you know, to go over to smash the NRL last year. Loads of them are saying they don't want him in anywhere near squad, you know. So it's players do pick up on that, I know, especially when you're from St. Helens. The family read them forums and it gets back to players. And there's a few fans wanting Wellens gone. They don't think Wellens is up to it. And well, Lomax is taking some stick, people, you know, and that's coming from St. Helens fans, you know. So I think there's a bit of a unhappy fan base there at the moment. And if we can get on a bit of a roll early doors, we might be able to create a bit of a bad atmosphere at up from.
No, I agree, that's definitely. And like I said, I've got a mate with Sports Saints and we speak quite a lot of on Twitter and stuff. And he says, don't worry about it, mate, you'll beat us. We can't attack and we can't score points. And when you score 28 passes early this year, he goes, yeah, for some reason, you're the only team we've seen we can score points against. So it's frustrating. But if you go back to the podcast after the Saints at home game, I said, you know, that they could score two tries in the last 5 minutes of the game and one of two is error, if you remember, when he dropped the ball in the first half. Take them out, we only lose 10-12-0. And well, so we've proved that, you know, we probably can match it with them. It's now just about getting over the line and actually winning one of these games. And imagine if we go to St. Helens on Thursday and win, not just our fans, but I think everyone in Super League will finally take note and think, wait a minute, this is the Giants of 2023. It's a completely different team, a completely different side. And everyone will take us as a friend, take us seriously. So I think it's a big game for us.
Just to go on, Jack.
Are we in danger? So if you go to St. Helens and pick up the win Thursday night, are we in danger of picking up too many wins before Challenge Cup final? Yes, Challenge Cup semi-final. Do you get what I mean? Where you've gone on a bit of a run and you've not been
never. I'd rather go to Challenge Cup semi-final back of 7-8 wins and 4 losses.
So. Warrington have got quite a few wins on bounce at the moment as well, aren't they? They've got very similar. So we're sort of on a similar path.
I thought I was in Warrington's performances this week and were very similar. We built magnificent wins last week in the cup. And then we've both sort of been humming and ahhing and stuff about sort of on the edge of the seat, close game where we could have both easily lost, but we both scraped home and won. I thought it was very similar to the performance. So I think we're an evenly matched team with Warrington, to be fair. And
yeah,
I think if none of us lose any injuries, then that semi final could be a cracker. But no, I'm not like you. Let's keep winning. Go once that semi final of 8 straight wins. And
I'm not saying I don't want to win. I'm just saying, you know, you're always in danger when you've had a big winning streak that sooner or later your bubble bursts and you have the odd blip. But let's hope it don't come before the Challenge Cup semi-final.
Well, yeah. I don't mean to put a damper on things. Just bring us back down to earth slightly. We have lost the last 8 meetings with St. Helens.
Yeah.
Our last win was in 2020. Remember when Jake Wardle scored that try?
Yes, down the touchline.
Yeah, beat him 12-10. Yeah, March 2020, that was just before the pandemic
started.
Yeah, so we've never beat them under Watson. There are
obviously, so I was the first, Josh. I was the first.
I share your optimism. I just, how do you think we can stop their threats, really? Because they'll be up for it at home, won't they?
Play the way we've been playing in recent weeks. You know, when we played them last time, I said on podcast, I said, if we play that way, St. Helens have got the beating of us all the time. If we're not chancing his arm or attacking, you know, showing a bit more in attack, if we're just playing that turnover rugby and trying to cripple St. Helens, it doesn't really work against St. Helens. And we've played them 8 times since Watson's been here. It's not worked once, has it? And like I said, it's not worked against Wigan. We've come closer to beating Wigan. I know we beat Wigan at home when they played the reserve side, but you can't really count that. But, you know, we've come closer to beating Wigan because I think our strengths suit playing Wigan a little bit more than they do playing St. Helens. But St. Helens have fallen off in recent weeks and, you know, Warrington, like you said, showed the blueprint. You know, if you can get the Volta Masters and Swift and actually throw it out a little bit more, I think, you know, attack Comrade Urrell, who always looks a bit knackered in the second half himself. I remember last year when we played him at home, I think it was last year, when he looked absolutely out on his feet. And that was a prime example of where a player looks out on the feet, looked knackered, and we didn't exploit him at home. I don't know if you remember that, Nat, where he looked crippled. And we didn't attack him. And we just let him carry on running ball in, and he was causing havoc. Whereas I've seen last week that we can attack players that look tired, can't play attack players that look out of position. And I just think we play a similar game. The only thing that worries me against playing teams like St. Helens is players like Seb, who some people thought he were great on Friday night. I thought he did some really good stuff, but I always think Watson leaves him on the field 5 minutes too long sometimes, where he's absolutely out on his feet. And then, to me, they need to be a bit more savvy with when they bring him off, because that worries me. Because St. Helens,
you're great.
You know what
I'm saying? You're great going forward.
Yeah, I agree.
Going forward.
Yeah.
I just think, like I said, defensively, and it is fitness, I'm not going to slag him off too much. Like, out there. I'm not, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Look, this year, he's been far better than he was last year. He's been really impressive this year. He was one player at start year. I wouldn't have been bothered if he moved on. But he's proved me wrong. He's been pretty much error-free all year. He doesn't knock on like he was doing quite often last year. But his fitness is a bit of a question mark over his fitness. And I do think Watson does leave him on the field a little bit too long sometimes. And then he starts to get exploited, and then he brings him off when they've sort of exploited it. But I think he needs to be a little bit sharper on Thursday night if we're to pull something off, I think.
Well, speaking of team selection, Jake, would you make any changes for this one?
I don't think so, no. Unless the force to. No, apart from Jack, I'd have Jack Murchie back in over Avi Lovett. I'm not saying Avi Lovett had a bad game on Thursday night, but Nat highlighted that he'd missed quite a few tackles, but not the only one. But Jack Murchie is a better player for me. So if he's fit, if he's not fit and he still needs another week, give him that other week, because Avi did a good job on Friday night. But if not, yeah, the only change I'd make is Jack Murchie back in.
Nat, any changes for you?
No, agreed. Murchie for Lovett if Merch is fit. If not, then even if he's not fully fit, I'm happy to see him miss out this week. It's not important. Make sure he's ready for future weeks. We obviously know what's coming up in 3 or 4 weeks, so make sure that people like Merch are fit. So, yeah, if he's 100% ready to go, Merch and Phil Levert probably. If not, then same as 17, go again and let's go get him beat.
Yep, don't disagree with that. Score predictions, Nat?
18-14 Giants. How about Jake Conn's kickoff for you this week?
Jake?
I'm not going to say we're going to go into 20s because I don't think we will against St. Helens. I think a very similar scoreline. I think 18-16 Giants. Or it might even be 9. I might even go 19-18. Jake Conn a drop goal.
There's some scenes in that way, and if he kicks a drop goal in front of us.
Yeah, I fancy a drop goal as well. I'll go 13-12. Yeah. So, yeah.
Somebody tell me to get up bookies and back under points.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, before we go, any other business?
Yeah, I think we'll big up the signing of Sam Alsall today. Signed till contract extension to 2027. I think that's massive. I think we said, didn't we, a few weeks ago, he was top of the list of retaining his list, so we need to get signed up long term. Club have managed to do that. Can't remember off the top of my head who was out of contract still, but I know there's a few we still want to get signed up. Luke Yates, probably the next one, along with Leroy if he wants to go around again. But in terms of your younger players that are going to be here, you know, as your core members at squad for the next 3 or 4 years, Alsall's the one that we needed next, and fair play to club for getting it over the line.
Yeah. Nat, where do you see Alsall next season? Does it seem as a starting centre?
Yeah, I do. He can't be far off. He's probably lucky not to be in the side at the minute due to that slight injury he got. And obviously, Wallace played away at Catalan, and then you can't drop Penrith after that. You're not going to drop Penrith after beating Leeds. So he's probably a bit unlucky not to be in the side currently. I don't care where you play him, centre wing. I think next year he's got 3 years where you give him the starting shirt and say, there you go. I'd imagine it'd be centre because I know Wallace and Swift will be here next year. So,
yeah.
They aren't getting dropped, I don't think, any time soon unless their form drops at the back end of this year. But yeah, for me, if Kevin Nagama's moving on, which I wouldn't be surprised at his age, if he did record there, then I don't have to worry about buying a centre. Like Jake said, congratulations to Sam on getting that new deal.
Yeah, no, he's definitely a centre. You know, he's got all the physical attributes. He'll do a job on the wing. He's been great on wing, but you can clearly tell he's going to be a centre. And to be fair, the Kevin Masters have done a reversal this year, haven't they? They've Kev, he hasn't been bad this year, but he's certainly not been at the form he had last year. He's obviously, is he 36 now, is he? You know, when you're that age, it catches up with you at some point, doesn't it? And he played well on Friday night, to be fair.
Still dangerous, dangerous in that 10 metres.
Yeah, certainly looks a bit slower and not as quite the player he was last year, and that's going to happen when you get to that age, isn't it? You know, if you base your game on pace and your agility, and then as soon as you start to slow down and you can't hit them same lines anymore. And like Ian spoke about, I mean, to be fair to Kev, he's shredded. He's probably the most shredded on the team, to be fair. He looks an absolute athlete, so I can't imagine he'll be one of those that misses training after a game, but you never know at that age. I remember Ian referring to last year that Chris McQueen and some others take longer to recover than some others, so need a couple of days off extra. And if you're having players at that age to be around and develop younger players, you need them on pitch as well, don't you, at training days as well, not if they're having to take 3 or 4 days off to recover from a game. So, yeah, got some big decisions to make next year, but I don't think Sam would have signed if he didn't expect him to be a starting player next year. I think he's at that stage of his career where he's going to be 23, I think, at the end of this year. He'll be wanting to be a starting player soon, won't he? And I think he's got the ability now. So if Kev got injured or Isan, I mean, as much as I'd be gutted with form Isan's in at the moment, you know you've got a really good player to step in there, and which is good.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Just before we leave, there's a little stat I want to share with you. So that's now 5 wins in a row in all competitions.
Yep.
You know, the last time we won 5 games in a row, which season it was?
I don't even think it was 2022, was it? It was nope. Before that. It was it when we had lost the first God knows how many games? And
when Sam Wolford came over, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
We sneaked into the playoffs.
Yeah, 2018.
18, 17, 18, yeah.
We won 6 in a row. That's going across the regular season and the Super 8s.
We sneaked into the 8s, didn't we?
Yeah, we snuck in, won the first 2 games in the 8s. And then from the end of that season, going into the following season, we lost 9 games in a row.
Yeah. So
hopefully that doesn't repeat itself.
No.
Fingers crossed.
Can't see that happening this year. There's a big gap between the bottom few clubs and rest of the Super League at the moment. It's scary, actually, stomach games. Although, fair play to Cass and fair play to London this week because they gave both of them had a dig of it at Wigan and against Salford, respectively. And I actually thought London had a real good chance of winning at half-time, to be fair. So.
Game of the weekend, not this weekend.
Yeah.
Cass at home for London.
Yeah.
Might not be great in quality, but I think it'd be quite good entertainment. Both teams will fancy the chance to see each other. So.
Yeah, thing is with London as well is you've got a lot of players there that can put themselves in shop window for a Super League deal next year. So they're not going to have bad attitude where they're just going to roll over and take it. They're going to be like, especially if like the Leylands and that are out of contract, that I think it's the first year in Super League. They're trying to show that they're Super League players. They know they're not going to be there with London next year. So they can put the name out there for a Super League deal for anyone looking for an halfback or some others as well. So I'm sure there will be 5 or 6 London players get deals elsewhere next year if they carry on the way they're going.
Yeah, absolutely. That's it for tonight's episode. Hopefully next week we'll get another player on and we can get your questions in for whoever that is. I won't say any names just in case it doesn't happen, but hopefully it's someone that's been mentioned tonight. That's all I'll say. Hopefully we can keep this winning streak going, and everyone who's going across the Saints, have a good day or night. And let's keep it going. Up the Giants.